ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So we are discussing this 20th chapter of this book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. So we are discussing this chapter on qualification to hear, because this morning I was talking with Anupam Gaurangro and I was telling, because he's all alone in Goshala. So I told, come let's start reading some book. So he said, I'm already reading. So I asked him, which book? I was telling Krishna and Vrindavan series, like that. So this book is, then I told him, you should read Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani first. And find out, you know, when you should read, or whether you should read right now or not. Anyway, even we have not figured it out, but at least there is some clue. Hint, some clue that has come up till, you know, from our readings till now. So it seems like Maharaj is suggesting that Nishtha is probably a sort of prerequisite at least to read the Ras Leela and other such sections of Vrindavan pastimes.
Is it even philosophy also?
Even in philosophy you need qualification, like that. So we were discussing about this. He had quoted this verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadu Viditam Chavishnu. So in that, Shraddhanvito, he says that Shraddha is not Adav Shraddha. As others may say. Look, he says that Hridroga kamam, Hridrogam ashu apahinoti achirena dhira. So, what is the problem if I have some lust, anger, envy, greed? It will go away when I hear Ras Leela. All it says is Shraddhanvito Shraddha. I have, that's why I want to hear. He says this Shraddha is not that Shraddha. So, like that. So, we were discussing
even one may have Shastra Vishwasmay Shraddha, but may not have Lobhamay Shraddha to
read. Correct.
What is the difference?
Shastriya Shraddha is Shraddha for on the level of the Bhakti Shastras, which is a prerequisite for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti.
Oh,
yeah. But by practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in the line of Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, when eventually at some stage we develop that greed to practice our bhakti following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, then that is also a kind of Shraddha. But that Shraddha is symptomatized by greed, not just because Shastras say that's why I am doing, not like that. That is there, that's what got them into, that's what introduced them to the Vrajavasis, love. But once they came to know about Vrajavasis love, then that sort of
Ishte Gaad
took over.
Ishte Gaad Trishna, Rager Swarup Lakshan, Ishte Avishtata,
Tatastalakshan. Ishte Swarasiki Bhava Paramavishtata Bhavet Tanmayi Yabhavet Tanmayi Yabhavet Bhakti Sa Atra Ragatmika Udita. Same verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So that is Ragatmika. That is the nature of love that Vrajavasis have for Krishna. When someone gets inspired, when their inspiration for practicing bhakti is coming from the nature of love that the Vrajavasis have for Krishna. That is Lobhamaya.
Yeah, there was a long
Currently,
somebody is following their
Advanced tools in Braja today also if they have
no, but you don't try, I mean it has to be Krishna's eternal associate.
Because the means by which he gets inspired is through Bhagavatam.
Okay.
That Lobhamayi Shraddha manifests through hearing. So when he hears about Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, Suval, Sridhama, the gopis, that inspires him. So it's basically through the process of hearing, not seeing.
But one has to sufficiently hear about these personalities through different sources to
bona fide
get inspired.
Bona fide sources
to get inspired.
Hand in hand, like you know, one hears a little about them from one of our scores, then one gets Greek and he hears more than. It's not that he. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions this also. He says that somebody who hasn't got that greed, he should not completely focus his attention on one particular leela of Krishna. Like, you know, that's for the advanced. So he should read entire Bhagavatam, he says.
Correct. That's what we saw. Devotional advanced practices should be taken up only according to qualification.
Yeah.
So, at Vaidhisadhana level, one cannot give up, let's say, in Diti worship.
Mm-hmm.
Worshipping Rukmini Dwarakadish. We should do.
There's a temple also, Rukmini Dwarakadish.
Los Angeles. So, but for a person who has gradually progress to the level of
steps of
Lobhamayi Shraddha, for him it may be unfavorable.
Yeah.
But if we prematurely think it is unfavorable, the thought itself becomes unfavorable
for
devotional self.
Thinking that I am qualified is a disqualification. This is one more thing. Shivaram Swami Maharaj only points out. He says that one should know that this greed that we are talking about, Lobhamaya Shraddha, having a fascination for Lobhamaya Shraddha or having a liking of the idea of Lobhamaya Shraddha is not the same as having that Lobhamaya Shraddha. It's also a nice statement. Liking the concept of something doesn't mean you have it.
See, one very important point he makes is you can't have Lobhamaya Shraddha before you reach Nishtha. There must be the heart must be fairly cleansed of anarthas to actually even have such kind of a desire. So otherwise, I mean that's like a safe, even though it's not like a, it's not an absolute statement that you will find in.
Correct, in Bhaktivinoda
or something.
But for all practical purposes.
For all practical purposes. In fact, even when one is practicing Vaidhisadhana Bhakti through Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya properly, still even after reaching Nishtha, there is no guarantee that he may develop that Lobha. It may manifest at Ruchi also. It may manifest at the stage of Asakti also.
Or it may not manifest also.
Or it may not manifest also.
It's fine for him if he continues like.
And generally these are not black and white also.
Yeah.
Even right now some element of Lobha is there.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference between the Vaidhisadhana Bhakti that is recommended in other Sampradayas and the Vaidhisadhana Bhakti that is recommended in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Because the Vaidhisadhana Bhakti that has been introduced in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is naturally meant to blossom as Raganuga Sadhana. When practiced properly while deriving inspiration solely from our Acharyas and Parampara. When practiced in this way, it has to naturally blossom into Raganuga Sadhana. Ideally.
Swarupam,
what is it? Rupa. Saraga. Swarupam, Shri Rupam, Saganam, Ihatasya, Grajamapi. So, it has to. If it does not, then we have to look why. Maybe we are not getting proper association, proper nourishment. Or we are, maybe, if we are, if there are symptoms of Nishta Ruchi, but there is no symptoms of Loba, it means we are, one reason could be that we are gaining inspiration from Vaishnava Sampradayas, but may not necessarily be Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. That is why when Prabhupada said, oh, in the beginning stage, you should worship Radha and Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan. So if he wanted us to worship Lakshmi Narayan, he might have as well introduced Lakshmi Narayan deities. Is there any temple in the world where Prabhupada introduced Lakshmi Narayan worship? Nowhere. But everywhere he told, don't worship as Radha Krishna, but worship as Lakshmi Narayan. If that was such a clear-cut injunction, why not introduce Lakshmi Narayan worship only? Not a single place. Prabhupada installed 108 temples. And also from the beginning only, even though we may not listen to Ras Leela and all that, but from the beginning of one's Krishna consciousness only, everyone knows that the greatest of devotees are the Vrajavasis. And Kamya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena. Everyone knows. So,
Sakira
Nugata Goro. So, these are like Prabhupada introduced these things. So from the beginning only, it is but natural to develop some kind of an attraction to the kind of devotional service that the Vrajavasis perform. That is how it is designed. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to give Krishna Prem. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Vraja Prem. So therefore all the acharyas, they carry this mood only. So if we are practicing according to their guidance, it has to bit by bit, it is like in the beginning we have 100% Shraddha coming from Shastras, but after some time, after a few years, it may be 20%
Bit by bit replaced by.
Yeah, 20% Vaidhi and 80% Raganuga or Loba. Then 30, 70, 40, 60, 50, 50 like that. So gradually, when one enters the realm of Nishta, if one is following the process right, then it will definitely become 60, 40, 70, 30.
80-20-90-10, like that. Gaurav Prabhu today, a very nice point about his class.
Mm-hmm.
How much a conflict can disturb you? So that, to that level, you understand how much you are absorbed.
That is a parameter.
Now when you talk about qualification here, such distraction, it can be because of your comfort or enjoyment. That is very clear, you can understand.
Correct.
You know it, you know how much I am distracted by this. But conflict will disturb me, it's a very serious thing.
Yeah.
It means a person has to be really very absorbed in. So we get some idea about, so based on your discussion, you want to know what is my qualification to hear. So now, that absorption comes at what level? Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti.
At any level, proportionate to the level that absorption increases. It's not generally black and white.
Yeah, but he is speaking about Haridas Thakur. No? Like he still, but he felt that there is too much disturbance here, I should leave this place. So that question was asked.
No, but that was very nicely answered by
Radhika Ravan
too. I mean, the essence is we do not know what was in Haridas Thakur.
It was a very philosophical, very deep answer he gave.
Yeah, but the essence was in one line which he spoke, which in the beginning only he mentioned. The answer that he said is, I don't know. It is not possible. And then he mentioned, who can understand what was in the heart of Haridas Thakur? That is the actual answer. The rest is, he was giving some generic principles of understanding one's progress. He was mostly commenting on, when one progresses, the nature of the service changes, like that. But the actual answer to that question by His Holiness Krishnakshetra Maharaj was answered in those two lines. I don't know who can understand the heart of Haridas Thakur.
He began that.
But that was, in my understanding, that was the actual answer. Because if it is not mentioned by Krishnadas Kavishaj Goswami or Vrindavan Das Thakur, then it is very difficult to guess why he should go.
So you know yourself, you can't say about others. About yourself, you can say.
And especially exalted Vaishnava.
Exalted Vaishnava.
Definitely you can.
One more thing. I didn't attend the lecture, but I heard the summary from one devotee. Actually, then I also thought about it. There are two aspects of any exalted
Vaishnava.
Like demonstrated by Mahaprabhu himself in his role as a devotee. Like sometimes he is very open to everyone and he will just embrace and say, take Krishna Prem, take this. And sometimes he would go in the shell. I just cannot tolerate even Srivas Thakur's
niece.
No, not niece. Mother-in-law. Somebody is there who is disturbing my mother. Now who can disturb Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his. He is not disturbed by it, but he doesn't prefer in the company of milk drinking.
Brahmachari
or even Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law, and he Srivas Thakur tells her to leave, like he's not disturbed by much. So he has his own period of seclusion where he wants to relish certain, and that time he will not tolerate any extra element, like and he has own time when he will just like Namo Mahavadane.
Jagai Madai,
that Muslim tailor, and so many others.
Kazi.
Achari Kazi. That was that day he meets after Vrindavan Yatra, that Pathan Vaishnava. Just give himself to anyone. Like, not even, he is not even Vedic
practitioner.
Even for Madhyadhar Guru, also same similar situation as you mentioned. He says that Kramya Varta Bhaye Sei Dvitiya Sanghahina. He had a fear that I may hear
Gramya Varta.
Gramya Varta. So therefore he didn't keep any associate with him. Company. So he would wonder around.
See, that is why when devotees reach the stage of prema, you know what kind of anubhavas and Sanchari Bhavas will manifest. They are not inspired by the three modes. But for a person who is troubled by the three modes, when he sees such actions, he superimposes his own mindset, which but it's a totally different stimulus system. There is Samvit Sandini and Radhi stimulating those actions. Here it is Sattva Rajas Tamas. But the external action is same. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Srivas Thakur slapping Harichandra. You would see like, oh, this is Krodha. Kama Krodho Vijayate. So it may seem like that, but it is not. It has nothing to do with three modes. And why exactly he did what he did, very difficult to understand. Yeah, that is why Vaishnavya Kriya Mantra Vigyaha. You can't predict. They are completely unpredictable.
And interestingly, this verse comes, Vaishnava Grihadha, we say, this is talking about Premi Bhakta actually.
Correct. Yeah, that's what. This actually talks about Premi Bhakta. Otherwise, for a sadhaka,
Vikaya Pusha. Vikaya will understand what is going on.
Yeah. So Vigyaha na Bhujaya means he may be learned, but if he does not understand the Rasa Shastra, he cannot understand.
Yeah.
So that is why Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Bhakti Purvai Shrutastampu Rasam Pashye Dyadattadi Tam Naomi Satatam Rupa Nama Priyajanam Hare. The beginning verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, sorry, Madhurya Kadambini, he says that. Oh, so many people have practiced Bhakti, perfected Bhakti, achieved the abode, but my special appreciation and obeisances is to Rupa Goswami, because by his mercy, even common devotees can see and understand rasa. So they don't have to wait till they experience it to understand. Through books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even before one may experience, one can at least have a glimpse.
So
like you don't have to go to United States to actually experience United States. You can see it in the television and get a glimpse, but it's still not exactly the same.
Going there
is whole different thing. But before television, you had to almost wait till you go to United States. So similarly, before, till Rupa Goswami actually compiled Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and subsequent literatures, just explaining these rasas with such a scientific way, there was absolutely no way that anyone could even try to understand what is going on. One has to just wait till he actually becomes qualified to experience those rasas himself.
It's like some even esoteric subjects, depends on the person who is speaking. He is so qualified, so he can really speak in such a way that those who are hearing, they will not feel. One side we are saying about, I don't know, you are not qualified to hear. Because if you have lusty desires and you hear about Krishna as a spirit person, you will get putrefied rather than instead of purified, you will get. But at the same time, a person is pure in his heart.
Yeah.
When
he can understand the audience and
yeah, and maybe his purity in sense, like you said about Rupa Goswami, but even in our ISKCON society, we see there are such advanced topics, like, you know, simple, even for speaking about Radharani.
Yeah.
Someone speaks with such this thing that you hear. You know that Radharani is not some ordinary.
Correct.
It's not some. Radharani's relationship with Krishna is not. But the person who speaks has got that thing to make penetrable.
Yeah.
I mean, there are Katakars who speak. People say, oh, love, love. But that real philosophical understanding about what is. And I just, because he brought Rupa Goswami's name, so I thought,
yeah.
Why Rupa Goswami, no?
Others are Rupanu Goswami.
Rupanu
Goswami.
That itself says that the parampara is effective.
It's
going down. What I thought, you know, sometimes about this, you know, sometimes you may not experience that enjoyment, but you know that person is enjoying, like, you know, like even in mundane cases like music, like, you know, somebody may be very expert and you know what that expertise is and you may not be able to play it. But you know, my God, this person is enjoying this music.
Yeah, like in a classical music or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing Alap and Tana and Palte and you say, wow, that this is far out. Like, you know, I'm not able to do that, but I definitely know there is something here.
Yeah, he's enjoying.
He's enjoying.
Like sometimes when Madhav Gopal Prabhu is giving class and he's laughing, people say, I don't know what he's enjoying, but I can see that he's really enjoying.
I remember one question was asked to Maharaj. Said, Maharaj, when we hear such nice pastimes from you, we know that you are at that level, but we also give class. But you know, but we don't have that feeling when we see others. We see, we make differences. You know, okay, these people are like, what, you know, they are Maya. So, but still we speak about. So he just didn't respond. He said that you should give katha in such a way that you relish it. If you are relishing it, you don't bother about
the audience.
So now that is contradictory, Jona. I mean, that means you speak anything, you don't know who is sitting now. That is an apparat to speak like it is the ninth offense, yes, okay, you know.
See, in circumstances like, you know, you are giving a big katha, I mean, it's always then the smaller the audience, the more customized you can present. And the larger the audience, you know, there is no question of customization. In that case, ideal thing would be to give LCM, you know, lowest common multiple.
This is so nice. When Shraddha Goswami was giving katha to thousands, he was focusing on emotions of only Parikshit Maharaj. Like how he was responding to his this thing. Although he was aware of others' needs, like what others needed, yogis and others are also sitting, so he would explain based on them. But constantly he is assuring Parikshit Maharaj, oh, Putana came, don't worry, wherever there was the name of Krishna chanted, you know, then what does become when there is Krishna? So he was only focusing on Parikshit Maharaj's response, right?
Even though all were there, but everyone knew that it's a personal conversation between Shraddha Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. It's not like, you know, they were raising their hands to ask some question.
Rather
the same thing Sharak Rishi told to the Namisharanya saints, the same subject was there, but for all of them.
This Sarvabhutarudam, of course, Shraddha Goswami is touching the heart of everybody. But, you know, he is focusing right now on Parikshit Maharaj, which will benefit everyone.
There is a difference between the Shaunakadi Rishis were one group. But in the camp of Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, there was Parikshit Maharaj and then there was multiple groups.
Some yogis, some
guys. Okay. So
now we start the class.
Now we are going to start the recap. This was pre recap.
We were just waiting for
Mila.
Now the class.
So he says that he's talking about how even within bhakti one has to gradually adopt the higher practices according to whatever level they have reached, not prematurely. For instance, devotees well situated in nishtha inevitably aspire after the practice of ruchi. They should make their transition to that higher level carefully, like caterpillars moving from one leaf to another. Get steady in this and then move to next, then get steady there, like that. That is, they should remain fixed in the activities of nishtha while they become well conversant with the characteristics of ruchi. Like you board a running bus or train. First you have to catch hold of that train. Then you have to run with it. Depends on where you start. So, first you have to run, then you have to catch, then you have to match the speed. When there is matching of inertia, Then you put one step in.
Then you went to bounce.
That's right.
Bounce in.
One step you put in, and then when that is steady, then you raise your second leg. If your first leg is also in air, you lift your second leg also, then we are in danger. Like that. When real faith in the characteristics of the higher stage develops, they may begin to cultivate the disciplines of taste for which they have a specific attraction. Like that. As they gain strength from their cultivation, they may gradually adjust their basic practices, increasing some and decreasing others. So like when one moves from, let's say, from Nishta, after Nishta, someone realizes that they are getting a predominance of some Raganuga inspiration. So with proper guidance, they may sort of increase their hearing or chanting in a particular way and decrease hearing about certain other subject matters which are like...
did their job.
Not yeah, sure. Which already have done their job and they don't need it. Because bhava, bhava pratikul, some bhava pratikul activities, like if someone is aspiring for a particular rasa, then you know, hearing katha about some other rasa, you know, like Dwaraka Leela or some other incarnations Leela predominantly, may not be very favorable at that stage. So they may decrease it.
Niransam shishtu kuruvan. Niransam shishtu kuruvan.
Shishtu kuruvan. Yeah, this is, yeah, correct, correct, correct.
Somebody is firmly determined that I will worship with Vaidhi only. Then he will not go to Vraja.
Correct.
He will go to Dwaraka.
Dwaraka, Ayodhya. Yeah. In this way, steady.
Like if he is
that is what he wants to do.
Yeah, he wants to do.
Correct.
It's fine.
What's wrong?
Nothing wrong. Perfect.
It's like Mahaprabhu appreciated Murari Gupta
and Anupam.
And he appreciated when they stuck to their position. He appreciated when they changed to from Ram worship to Krishna worship. He did both things. So when
who changed?
That Ram was chanting Ram Nam from childhood. He changed it to Krishna.
Correct, but that person had not reached this Thai Bhavana.
From in the beginning you are saying?
Yeah, he was a sadhaka.
Yeah.
And Anupam and Murari Gupta were like siddhas.
Already.
They were siddhas.
Already siddhas.
Because once attaining Thai Bhav, then they don't get...
Thai Bhav can be upgraded, but I read that in...
correct.
In Vishwajarunapur's commentary, where he said that...
Downgraded also.
So upgraded how, you know? So there is nothing... One may say that there is nothing wrong being Krishna's wife in Dwaraka. But then some of the queens, they desire to follow in footsteps of Radha. So the queens... they no longer became the subservient queens of Rukmini and Satyavana. They got upgraded to Vraja. It's written in last chapter of when Draupadi is meeting with the queens. The queens are desiring, oh, when will you get dust from lotus feet of Radharani? So it says at the end, last verse purported by Vishwanachandra Thakur, and he says that they went to Vraja.
But they are being
the
part of.
No, Antaranga Shakti is better. They are not Tatastha. Who said they are Tatastha?
So, Antarangas, they also change.
So that's what I am saying. So, they are like Dwaraka residents. You know.
See, generally, it is mentioned that when perfected devotees, when they aspire for... when they aspire for, let's say, Uddhava, when he saw the love of gopis, he was aspiring. But
they don't,
it is mentioned that they aspire for the intensity of their love, but not necessarily the form of that love.
But here the case is they aspire for form also.
Form also. In that case, probably they were not siddhas yet.
Or there is a facility.
See, siddha means the stage of prema.
Yeah.
Because at the stage of sthayi bhava, there is still, yeah, at the stage of bhava, there is still scope for upgradation. But at a stage of prema, they are fully satisfied actually.
But even in that, you know, because if you read Seva Dharma, so it says that there is a facility of having two forms.
That is there.
You know, this disciple asks,
is fully satisfied with his position. You know, why should you also like a sakha? Does he think like that?
The grass may think, oh, I wish I had that
love
that the sakha has for Krishna. But he does not feel that I want to be a sakha like him.
The feelings,
like Uddhava felt, oh my god, I never really had this intensity of love for Krishna that the gopis have.
That's what usually happens, actually.
That's what usually happens.
They aspire for intensity.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And he became the grass of it.
But at the same time, therefore, I said, when the Siddhas, they have a desire to expand. So it's not that Nitya Siddha Uddhava is no more a friend of Oya. So he's there, but at the same time, he's expanding his Gulmalapa, whatever. So there is a facility of, just like in Jaiva Dharma, somebody, the disciple asking, I think, Param.
It is Abhay Param, bro.
No. So he asked. The preceptor guru in Jaiva Dharma. He says that, oh, but there's Mahaprabhu's servants. Like if you go into Krishna Lila, we may miss Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
Like you know, like because you know Mahaprabhu is also eternal form of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So will we miss him? Like if you go into Krishna's lilas. So then that guru answers. No, he will have two spiritual forms. One in Braj Leela, one in Gaur Leela. There is Nitya Navadvip, which is a portion of Braj. So he will do his services in Braj Leela and he will expand his Gaur Leela Swarup and he will assist Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan and Nitya Navadvip. Like, you do both the things. So for Nitya Siddhas or even Sadhan Siddhas, there is a facility of having two forms. So who knows about spiritual? So that's clearly mentioned in the
Yeah. Okay, so he says, in this way, steady devotees rise to new levels of Krishna consciousness, cultivating the spiritual frontiers revealed through the medium of taste. Progressive devotees move from one stage to another, beginning with the stage of faith by the same process. Adhavishpatta, the sadhu sandhavasana kriya and so on. What are the practical examples of such careful transitions? In fixed devotion, that is nishtha, devotees may chant 16 rounds daily and happily meditate on Krishna's form. Because faith is the qualification for Naam. Nishtha is the qualification for Rupa. As this practice becomes regular and blissful, the desire may arise to hear more about Krishna's qualities, which means Ruchi. Such devotees may then read songs and prayers that glorify Krishna's qualities, remembering them as they chant Japa and Kirtan. These new practices, which are the symptoms of the stage of Ruchi, may become so relishable that the devotees desire to increase the number of rounds they chant to 32. They may experiment for some time with this newfound commitment, without disturbing their long-standing services. They may wake up early, check it out, try it out, and they are relishing it still. It's not a sporadic spurti which has fizzled out now. It is increasing more and more. However, when comfortable with their new practices, devotees may, under superior guidance, make adjustments to their normal services in order to facilitate their chanting additional rounds. They may also make vows to continue their extra hearing and chanting. In this way, as devotees elevate themselves from one stage of devotion to the next, they gradually make adjustments in both their practices and their duties. Practices is sadhana, duties is service. Like this morning, Radhika Raman Prabhu was making the same point. It is natural when one progresses, the nature of that service changes, nature of the practice changes, and it is expected actually. It is naturally expected. It can't remain the same. Properly done and supervised, this process is self-regulatory and therefore reliable, because devotees hear only topics for which they are fit. Key is guidance. When done under proper guidance, then one actually develops the appropriate desires at the appropriate stage of practice. Since the topics themselves direct the techniques of the devotees chanting, the subjects of their remembrance and the mood of their worship, devotees who truly follow the process do not succumb to practices beyond their abilities. These topics themselves are actually techniques to raise them up. If they hear appropriate topics at appropriate times, then it will naturally elevate them. When they are fixed in hearing these new topics, they may hear even newer topics, and when their faith ripens further, they may take another step on the staircase to Goloka. Like that. In this way, devotees blissfully make steady progress in going back home, back to Godhead. It should be noted that spiritual qualification is just as important in hearing philosophy and other scriptural teachings as it is in hearing Krishna Lila also. Proper understanding of the truths of Krishna consciousness requires knowledge and faith. Otherwise, misunderstandings will cause devotees to argue their own opinions ad nauseam. They'll keep on sticking to their, like this morning, Varaha Prabhu was mentioning about conflicts. So, one has to protect one's knowledge and faith. The source of both should be from one's own parampara. So as long as the faith and knowledge are both coming from one's own parampara, then one is properly situated. For instance, when the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam came out, some devotees tried to visualize Shukadeva Goswami's description of the universe, but they could not make sense of the distances and geometries mentioned in the text. It's impossible. How is it possible? They could not figure it out. Their understanding of cosmology required more than just knowledge of geometry and astronomy. It required some spiritual qualification. In the absence of such qualifications, devotees had to accept what they were reading based on faith. In the years and decades that followed, as a result of Srila Prabhupada's guidance and their own spiritual growth, a number of devotees were better able to understand the Bhagavatam's mysterious depiction of the universe and explain it to others. Another example of devotees' inability to understand Siddhanta without appropriate qualification is the controversial origin of the Jiva issue. Based on Srila Prabhupada's instructions as well as on the writings of the previous acharyas, some devotees argue about whether conditioned souls originally came from Vaikuntha or the Brahma Jyoti or the body of Mahasankarshan. So like we discussed last time, this is a subject matter which can be understood with self-realization. So when one understand, when one reaches the stage of prema, then the answer is there for this question, but it is intelligible only when one
we are there.
When we are there. Otherwise, you know, differential calculus, integral calculus books are there, but the 5th standard student has to study. He just knows addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. You tell him dy by dx, he will say, ridiculous. Only numbers can be divided.
Why? I mean, why should there be
need
to have
how
is it possible to help just I know that from where we are coming.
No, it's a natural question.
Yeah, it is there. But how is it going to help me?
Koji, that is right. But the thing is, you can't deny that it's a natural question. No, it may not help me, but is it an irrelevant desire to know?
Yeah, but
I'm not talking about from where you came.
Yeah,
I want to know from where I came.
Yeah, but
it is natural. A son wants to go and ask his mother, where did I come from? It's a natural need. Does it have anything to do with the goal he is going to attain? Probably not. But still that desire is natural.
Yeah, but why should there be so much intense debate on that?
There should not be.
There should not be intense debate.
No,
it is giving some answer. It is giving that you may have come from here, you may come from there. It's not that we don't know. I saw in here.
No.
You have some idea that either it is from here, it could be from here. It's not that.
So
it doesn't abstract me.
Yeah.
Keep on analyzing.
No, correct, correct. See, when people don't get a satisfactory answer, it can potentially affect their faith. Actually, in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this real issue in the essay on Nischaya. Nischaya means to utsaha nischaya dairya. Nischaya means to progress with determination. He says determined progress is possible only when one removes that doubts. And in talking about doubts, he mentions this one doubt, which can be a serious roadblock in devotee's progress. Because this question is very natural question, but unfortunately cannot be resolved at their level of faith. So actually you will see Bhaktivinoda Thakur empathizing with these people. So there is empathy. Otherwise, he would not point out this one question. Why did the pure jiva desire to enjoy separately from Krishna?
So this is a valid thing. You know?
Same thing. That's a jiva fall down question.
But it is said that this happens only once.
Whatever once, twice, whatever it may be.
Means once a person.
Once, no. Correct. But he wants to know why.
So why?
Is it unreasonable?
once
भी नहीं है या twice भी हो सकता है मतलब whatever it may be
that is that level of question again
that's a question
again.
Of
again.
See what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is the same thing what Prabhupada says you go back and find out.
Yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur little bit he adds little more detail. He says look, I have an answer for this, but at your level of experience, you cannot understand. It needs a higher level of experience. When you later study trigonometry and understand the higher algebra and come to the level of differential calculus, then you will be able to understand d by dx of sin x is cos x, what it means, how it makes sense. But at this level, if you want me to answer, I will answer, but you will not understand. It will find very illogical.
Yeah.
The person will say, hey, you are dividing alphabets. This is a basic thing.
So, sign kya hoga malum nahi hai, variable kya hoga malum nahi hai. To fir explain karenge to kya samjhega?
Kya samjhega usko? To wahi bol rahe hain ki aap ye iska answer main aap prem ka star pe aane ke baad main aapko samjha sakta hu. Tab tak wait karo. Not that it has no answer.
But this discussion is very fine. The problem may have to discuss about.
Yeah.
We discuss about it, but then we understand. ये stage में अभी समझ लिया ना तो ये level of experience में हम समझ नहीं पाएंगे.
That is still a big achievement and I know that, accept that, I don't understand.
इसमें doubts आ सकते हैं.
नहीं
doubts. नहीं नहीं नहीं.
In one sense we say unless you're qualified you can't do. Right? Unless you're qualified. You are a nuisance, right? I mean that's why it is said that. If you don't have a relationship here, there is no question about you going there.
Correct.
So that itself is a big
thing. I'm grateful that you allowed me to hear.
I'm wrong.
Yes, yes. उसके पहले lunch भी करना है. But 15 तक हमको deadline दिया है कि जाना है. Because we miss
lunch. I also don't meet him much, but yeah. He's a radiologist.
Radiologist.
Yeah. Who has got a different vision from us. You see the same film.
Probably
you can't understand what he can understand. That's the only explanation.
You just stated ideology.
It's a very profound qualification now that we talk about. And that itself is, if you don't have that relationship here, there's a question about you because you're a nuisance there. What a qualification it is. And then you say that, oh, then the Jiva has, from there also he has come back. What happened to his qualification?
That's what. That's the point. So he says that, yeah, there is an answer for this, but you'll have to wait. See, this is correct now, because naturally, any class on philosophy you discuss, Bhagavatam, in different ways, goom goom ke, actually everyone comes to Jiva fall down issue. Innocently, it's absolute, they don't have that question in mind. But aise ghoom ke udhar hi aa jate hain. Every other class, when that line of questioning starts, I immediately tell, this will end up in Jiva fall down question. They say, no, that's not what I have in mind. And I said, okay, continue your question. After 5 minutes of explanation, I say, look, I told you. That's where it comes to.
Is it someone who's asking? I'm just asking. Is he deriving some pleasure in asking that question so that he knows that there is no answer to this? So there
will
be
some debate on that. Genuine, Rauji. This is a genuine jignasa. That is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing about this question specifically. That if doubts are not resolved, it will lead to weakening of determination to progress in devotional service. You won't get that nischaya. That's what he is telling. That so better get the doubts resolved. And there are certain doubts which are unresolvable at someone's particular stage of devotional development. So those things you have to understand. Because there are different kinds of achintya. One is achintya for living entities only. Whether any jiva, whether he is a sadhana siddha or a nitya siddha or sadhaka, they cannot understand that subject matter at all. It is achintya for jiva tattva. It is chintya only for Vishnu tattva.
Sometimes not even that.
Sometimes not even that.
Prabhupada said, even Krishna sometimes doesn't understand himself. He tries to understand, then his glories have increased, then his knowledge potency is less, then it is growing. Till that time, this is growing. So Krishna is achintya for himself also.
Correct. And certain things are achintya in the sense, it is achintya at the level of anishtita bhajan. When you reach nishta, you will understand. Certain things are anishta, achintya even at the stage of nishta. You come to ruchi, you will understand. Like, so anishta person at the stage of nishta, I understand, might think, hey, itna kya usko achcha lag raha hai jo paas. He may think like that. And the person at the stage of ruchi might look at a person and ask him anything. Itna, what he is thinking so much about pleasing Krishna. I don't have that much. He may think like that. He may not doubt, but he may not be experiencing it. So similarly, then here we are talking about a person at the stage of anishtita bhajana kriya, thinking about something which could be understood at the level of prema only. So the distance is quite huge. So even to appreciate it might become difficult. A person at the stage of nishtha may not understand what a person at the stage of, may not be able to relate to the what a person at the stage of ruchi is experiencing, but he will appreciate. But anishtita bhajana kriya to prema is such a big gap. Even to appreciate may be difficult.
This is a very nice example. What to speak of Srila Prabhupada, even Santa Tukaram, there is one abhanga, he says that Panatala Masa Povatase Kaisa Javidecha Mosha Teva Kai. He says that you may speculate, oh, how does a fish swim in the water? So he said, you can understand something, but Javidecha Mosha, unless you become a fish, how will you understand how does a fish swim? So unless you become Premi Bhakta, how will you understand what Prema is? Like, you know, you will appreciate, he has a fins and and by this which is moving, but how is it is turning and you become a fish, then you understand.
Nice analogy. Correct. Devotees who lack such qualification may continue to argue their insufficient realizations, but they succeed in doing little else than stirring needless debates in the society. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's concluding words in response to the direct question regarding the origin of the jiva were, "Now don't waste your time." जैसे वो पांचवी का बच्चा दो तीन दिन लगातार वो कैलकुलस का बुक पढ़ेगा तो वो समझ जाएगा क्या? You will get more and more doubtful on me. He advises followers to spend energy cultivating their Krishna consciousness rather than exploring the topic. By so doing, they would endear themselves to the Lord, who would make known relevant ontological truths to the sincere. मतलब when he is sincerely practicing, when he progresses further, when he becomes qualified, then the Lord will reveal the necessary.
Your ontological truth is a nice statement. Like, what you are made of.
Ontology means the science of origins.
Yamuna Mataji and my place she is sharing. You remember that? Is that Prabhupada always told what we needed to hear, what was relevant for us. Therefore, I never asked unnecessary questions to Prabhupada. She said,
Maharaj also says, I never had any questions. many places.
I never had
any questions like that.
He said, sincerely hearing also is sincerely inquiring.
Oh, wow. Amazing, huh? Sincere hearing is also sincere
inquiring.
What a deep statement.
No question, not necessary that. You have to ask.
Sincere hearing, most of the inquiry is fulfilled in sincere hearing.
Correct. Already so many, answers to so many inquiries are coming.
Coming.
And it takes time to digest it. It takes so much time to digest each answer. Like I remember one very traditional old Ramanujacharya movie you would have seen. That how knowledge is given, upadesh, mantropadesh. He speaks one sentence. The guru speaks one sentence and waits till the disciple, it has sunk into the disciple, and when he nods his head, and then he makes the next statement and waits for him to assimilate it, and then he speaks the next statement. Because elaborate purports were not there, na? Direct sutras. So if you look at that, if you watch that movie Ramanujacharya, so in that, when Ramanujacharya approaches Goshtipurna, it's the 17th time or 18th time when he gets. So he is sitting and hearing, Ramanujacharya is sitting and hearing. He speaks one statement. Ramanujacharya is looking like this. And he says, okay. And then he speaks the next statement. And he is like, and he is the next statement like that.
This is like Vyasadeva telling Ganesha, unless you fully understand what I am speaking,
don't try.
I heard the other side. When someone asks a question, the one who is okay to answer, he repeats his question. Your question is, and this is again what tradition is. When he repeats the question is framed better than the person who has asked the question.
Unspoken.
Yeah.
What he is not able to verbalize, because the person is such an expert in that subject matter that he is able to pull out those unspoken part of that question also and verbalize it so that he understands his own question better.
Also for other people.
Correct.
So others who are sitting there, they should also get a clear idea about what exactly is the question? Otherwise, many times we hear someone has asked question and we only hear the answer. We have not understood the question. Most of the times it happens. But I see that he does it.
Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhu always does.
Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhu does and Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj does.
Correct.
He does that. So your question is, and many times the question is, you understood the question from him. The person who asked the question was not very clear.
In summary, as devotees make spiritual advancement, they become fit to understand philosophical issues. So he's explaining about how not just about hearing Krishna's leelas, but even hearing certain philosophical aspects can also needs a particular level of spiritual advancement. In summary, as devotees make spiritual advancement, they become fit to understand philosophical issues, such as the structure of the universe or the origin of the jiva, issues they cannot penetrate with immature logic and argument. Whether it be leela or tattva, the subject matter for hearing must be suited to the qualification of the hearer. In Sanatana Goswami Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, two separate narratives elucidate the principle that devotees advance according to their qualification. The first is of Narada Muni's quest for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy, the most advanced devotee. The second is of the cowherd by Gopa Kumar's quest for the topmost abode, a quest in which he ascends through various realms where different stages of devotional service are practiced. Narada Muni's journey, Gopa Kumar's journey. In both narrations, Sanatana Goswami recognizes the characteristics of the various levels of devotees, devotion, and material and spiritual realms. So you took this, you take, if you don't have patience to read through the whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami, what he did, he took Brihad Bhagavatamrita, removed the storyline completely and presented the essential truths, understanding in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Brihad Bhagavatamrita minus the storyline is more or less Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The reader is thus gradually trained to understand the ascending stages of devotion, beginning with semblance of devotion and concluding with Vraja Bhakti of the gopis. For submissive readers, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a roadmap to the increased qualifications needed for advancing through the stages of devotional service. I think next we should do Brihad Bhagavatam. One theme of the book, the gradual and indirect path to pure devotion, reminds one of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another, the elevation of Gopa Kumar on the direct path of pure devotion, reminds one of Srila Prabhupada's teaching that to become his follower, one must practice the path of perfection he has presented. Gopa Kumar, like all beginners on the path of pure devotion, advances in Krishna consciousness by chanting the mantra given by a spiritual master and by receiving instructions from many great devotees.
Diksha and Siksha.
He learns spiritual detachment, acquires transcendental knowledge, realizes the Lord's opulence, achieves perfection, and is finally accepted by Krishna as a companion in Goloka. The reader is brought into Gopa Kumar's increasingly personal pastimes with Krishna as Gopa Kumar advances. In the process, the reader sees the kind of hearing appropriate for devotees at different stages of devotion. So he says, he is using the Brihad Bhagavatamrita as a template to show, you know, at what stage what kind of hearing is appropriate. Interestingly, after achieving the fulfillment of his desires, Gopa Kumar receives further instruction from Srimati Radharani and returns to the material world in order to preach. You have read Brihad Bhagavatamrita?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, same here. All in all, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the ideal guidebook on hearing and practicing according to qualification.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is like a very more strong statement. Srila Prabhupada says, it teaches people how to become devotees, execute devotional service and attain love of Krishna. This is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela purport. Because these three things are the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is called Bhagavatamrita. How to become devotees? Execute devotional service and attain love of Krishna. Sambandha, Vidya and Prayojan. Intermediate and advanced devotees appreciate the glorification of the Lord due to their spiritual maturity. Intermediate devotees, Madhyama and Uttamadhikaris, according to Bhagavatam, not according to Bhaktirasam Sindhu. They like to discuss amongst themselves, read the books of great acharyas, write down their own realizations and preach and distribute books. Although often enthusiastic to pass on their newfound conviction to others, neophytes are not so advanced. They have meager knowledge of devotional philosophy and topics about Krishna, but they may have enthusiasm. Scripture and the acharyas recommend deity worship to purify and elevate all classes of neophytes. This is especially powerful, but deity worship is not meant just for the neophytes. But for neophytes, it's especially very potent and powerful. Purified by observing the Lord's form, bowing down before Him and offering Him the fruits of their work, neophytes acquire the desire and ability to associate with Vaishnavas. Lord Kapila says, Mad Dishnya Darshana Sparsha Puja Stutyabhi Vandanaihi Bhutesh Mad Bhavanaya Satvena Asangamena Cha. Talking about the limbs of pure devotional service. In the 3rd Canto 29th chapter, he says, the devotee should regularly see my statues in the temple deities, touch my lotus feet and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayer. He should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. In addition to purifying the heart, deity worship has two other important effects. It increases the devotee's interest to hear about the Lord and it bestows the ability to concentrate the mind, which increases the capacity to hear. Powerful statement. First thing is, it purifies the heart, deity worship, by constantly paying obeisances, worshipping, touching. Apart from purifying, it creates the appetite to hear. And because deity worship requires a lot of concentration, when your level of concentration increases, it increases your capacity to hear also. Purifies the heart, increases the appetite and also increases the capacity. We may have appetite but we may not have the capacity to eat. So deity worship in this way is very powerful. Tending the deity naturally awakens awareness of Krishna's personality. Because you are dressing that personality, won't you want to know more about that personality? Sarvatma. Nacha dressing karte hain aapko.
Carrot also has magic targets. He's not dressing in 1 month.
Come on. See. Empathize.
I know.
As soon as the deadline is over,
deadline
construction.
So tight that time.
So he has to complete his rounds in the morning, otherwise it's impossible.
Oh, it clashes with the chanting hours.
Chanting hours he has to dress. He is so tired. Otherwise, he is our star dresser. No one can dress like Sarvatma Ritu. My personal taste. I will show you one photo. Full flower pagadi.
So that's why he's so
according to Horson's advancement, you should do changes in spiritual practice.
Come here. No. I think I'm just trying to. Subsequently, they want to hear about his pastimes and learn how to serve him better. As they increase their service, their instinctive taste for hearing and reading becomes purified and directed towards the topics of the Lord. So, how deity worship helps is elaborating here. The inquisitive neophytes of Naimisharanya. In fact, it's not stated in a derogatory way, because Bhakti Rasamsindhu says that they fall in the category of jityasus. Artho jityasur artharthi jnani chabaratrushan. Shaunagadi rishis, it is mentioned, they started out as jigyasu, but then we have just reached the comma, we have not reached the full stop of the statement. The inquisitive neophytes of Naimisharanya exemplified this taste when they said, "Oh wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme God, its multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord are performed by His internal powers." Within bracket he says, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada gives the sages of Naimisharanya as examples of neophyte devotees. Neophyte means here Bhagavatam's neophytes, whose faith is not yet pure. Srila Prabhupada also glorified deity worship as a means to fix the mind. He is quoting from a lecture. "This deity worship means to train the neophyte devotees how to concentrate upon the form of Krishna, especially His lotus feet. By observing the Lord's form during aarti, thinking of Him during the day and tasting His remnants at meals, devotees naturally remember Him. This regular remembrance is a form of training that helps new devotees subdue and direct the restless mind. When they have achieved a certain measure of success, devotees find reading and hearing much more rewarding." This is really amazing. "We often see new devotees distracted or sleepy while listening to class or reading. Learning to fix the mind on the deity helps fix the mind on topics of Krishna."
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think you feel sleepy. Deity worship can sleep in the ocean. These are all absolute, right?
Correct.
Hearing is absolute, Harinam is absolute, deity is absolute. Why while chanting you get sleepy? I don't know.
Because it's like it's difficult to the level of concentration. Even while describing Nishta, he talks about laya, sleep being one of the disqualifications. He says it is easiest to sleep in during japa and little more difficult to sleep during shravanam, still more difficult to sleep during kirtanam,
dancing
kirtan. He said because you know, there are many senses are involved, mind need not be involved also. But in smaranam, mind has to be involved.
Yeah.
Because japa is smaranam.
So that mind is involved. So that's why.
And in shravanam, only one sense is involved, ear. And you can hear without processing using the mind also.
That means if you're hearing attentively, you not sleep.
Yeah.
Because at least mind also is involved. "We often see new devotees distracted or sleepy while listening to class or reading. Learning to fix the mind on the deity helps fix the mind on topics of Krishna. Thus, deity worship helps devotees stay alert and focused on other devotional acts." Oh my God. "Through the medium of deity worship, the devotee's dormant attachment to Krishna is awakened. That attachment naturally increases their qualification for and interest in hearing the topics of Krishna." "In this way, they overcome the influence of lower modes and advance happily in Krishna consciousness." Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19. "And although deity worship is especially recommended for neophytes, Srila Prabhupada wants advanced devotees not to neglect it." Actually, advanced devotees would never neglect deity worship also.
Guru Goswami said, everybody
deity. Yeah. "Although they were fully realized souls, associates of the Lord such as Rupa Goswami and Gadadhar Pandit worship their own deities with love and attention. While advanced devotees generally worship the Lord by the process of remembrance, smaranam, they initiate many neophytes into serving the deity in the temple and show their disciples how to dedicate themselves to caring for him. Srila Prabhupada was concerned that ISKCON's leader takes seriously their responsibility to maintain high standards of deity worship. Like I was reading yesterday only, Yamuna Mataji's book, where when Yamuna Mataji had gone to Delhi for some purchase when she was in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada observed that the deities were wearing the same garland that they had worn yesterday. And he asked Yamuna Mataji, why you have made the deity to sit on the parapet more or something? Sit on the fence or something.
And also, who, I didn't hear it in the book, but I heard her directly speaking. The professor, who did this? Like, so Yamuna Mataji said, I was not here, so.
I'm not from here.
Yeah. So, but then Prabhupada didn't care who did it. He directly told Yamuna Mataji only. So, you should not do like this. I'm probably instructing others. So, it was like, yeah.
There is one, what Prabhupada means, he entered a temple, he saw the deities. They look very tired.
Correct.
On investigation, we found out that Pujari on that day. Instead of photograph, he had opened the garden.
Yeah, and Prabhupada, yesterday only I was reading. And when Yamuna Mataji was struggling in Vrindavan during that phase, then she one day decided that, you know, let me intensify my chanting because my standards have gone down so much. So that day she made some meager effort to chant little better, hear little better. And when she came in front of Prabhupada, then, oh Yamuna, you look so bright. You must have been chanting Hare Krishna nicely. Like that.
Really?
I don't know, should I say this? Yeah. Very serious pastime about Yamuna's. You know, I think you must have heard about it. I think that time, her personal servants were such a. This was in Vrindavan. And she was the cook.
Yeah,
the
chapati.
Chapati. Okay, she writes it in the.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. But it's very, very profound, it is.
Yeah. What should I look for, Maharaj?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I will teach you. So, should I teach you how to make
sir, he was in Avacharya, Sanyasi.
Maharaj, no. Maharaj.
So, he was messing up, right? Everything messed up.
He was messing up the
Yeah, it was like.
Everything. she was.
But what she. She remembers that what Prabhupada wanted to teach me.
Yeah.
That was too much. I mean, unless she speaks, no one will know about it. What exactly was the message?
I learned by hard knocks. Sometimes Prabhupada was very.
She was, once I met her, she was very concerned. She was in the hospital. She was saying that I have little doubts about the accuracy of. Prabhupada's memory is what is written. I'm just telling you here. Was it really that happened like this or it is?
It's natural.
Just
it's brought out that in any biography, na, people who have been part of that this thing, they always feel.
She was speaking with a lot of. Like, I don't know why she had to speak. I mean, I am in no position, you know, to be. She's such a thing. But she brought up, which I never spoken this, you know. Just two of us were there. So. Something came about Prabhupada's memory. So she, I don't know whether, you know, really.
Actually, if you see, post Lilamrit, so many biographies came. And you will see the same pastime mentioned in a different. That's natural, bro. That is, you know.
Not intentional.
That's not intentional.
Yeah.
Bowing before the deities, chanting their names and observing aarti are certainly parts of the archana process. But devotees would do well to be more actively involved in the actual worship. He says that, yeah, I mean, bowing down, taking darshan is also deity worship. Yes, but still, one should more actively take part. By cooking for the deities, dressing them, and doing menial services such as washing the floor or making garlands, the devotees can stay conscious of the deity throughout the day and reminded of the standards that please Krishna. It is easier for ISKCON's leader to promote and perform these services to become aware of the ultimate beneficiary of all their other duties and of the state of affairs surrounding the Lord's personal service. Actually, if you read again, somehow I am getting reminded of Yamuna Mataji's book only. In that, the experience of how when Yamuna Mataji and Dindarni Mataji were in England, she inspired all the ladies who were brahmacharinis who were staying there by just engaging them in deity worship. And when she was in Sharanagati form also, practically the, you know, all the youngsters who were there, young girls who were there, the Banbihari milkmaids. So she inspired all of them by engaging them in deity worship. It is easier for ISKCON's leaders who promote and perform these services to become aware of the ultimate beneficiary of all their other duties under the state of affairs surrounding the Lord's personal service. That kind of management leads to auspiciousness in the society. Srila Prabhupada writes, similarly, places outside India where there are centers of the Krishna consciousness movement and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced.
Similarly, places
outside India where there are other ISKCON centers also people should visit.
ISKCON centers, even outside India.
Even outside India.
Where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped.
Be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced.
So worship not necessarily means directly deity worship.
But if you have an opportunity, he said you do it.
Yeah.
One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed in any other place. Ritualistic means devotional ritualistic. Upacharas. But when senior devotees remain aloof from the deity's welfare, the health of the temple projects and the spiritual health of the devotees under their care is weakened. If leading devotees act as if they are aloof from the deity, their followers will emulate their behavior and also become indifferent to hearing and chanting about the Lord.
Something similar when the majority of devotees give less attention to absorption and chanting.
Who was saying?
This morning.
Parambur was saying. Maharaj said, Radha Gopinath Mandir is all this progress. Whatever success we saw, it's only because of deity worship. He said that. I mean, I don't even understand. So deities are taken care. Of course, it goes everywhere. And all other things. Now here it is said about the spiritual health of the devotees and all everything.
Yeah.
So, which everything he gave credit to the deity worship. Anymore, sorry.
Thank you.
Just because it's interesting.
Just three slides. I'll just complete and you can leave.
Thank you.
That is just for three slides. You have to.
You find it.
It follows that if hearing and chanting are to remain the heartbeat of ISKCON's devotional curriculum, and if devotees are to develop proper qualification for these practices, then deity worship must be done perfectly. My God. It follows that if hearing and chanting are to remain the heartbeat of ISKCON's devotional curriculum, and if devotees are to develop the proper qualification for these practices, that is hearing and chanting, then deity worship must be done perfectly.
You see, actually, you know, everyone used to spend more than 5 hours on deity worship. 2000 Shaligram Shilas and deities and like, you would spend more than 5 hours. Like, there is one, he had one sprinkler in which you put tulsi water. As he said in one scripture, he read that if the Shaligram gets tulsi water, then Krishna will never leave you. And then he says that because I am so born, I am sure Krishna has all the reasons to leave me. So therefore I am putting this tulsi drops on his Shaligram. Make sure that all 2000 Shaligrams get tulsi water so that Krishna doesn't leave me. So, and he says that this is his Hitai Shachi. And interestingly, he uses the same word, I think. He says that they are the heartbeat of our 24 hour gear. The deities is Hitai Shachi.
We need to see it in contemporary devotees.
Amanda Prabhu raises that he was more than 700 pastimes of Amanda Prabhu.
Really?
700 different anecdotes. See, his gear he had given also.
Achha.
Just 2 hours, 3 hours, kala.
Srila Prabhupada stressed this idea strongly when he used the phrase perfectly done in his instruction to his GBC secretaries. Prabhupada says, as GBC, you should see the standard is perfectly maintained and that deity worship is perfectly done. Then Krishna will give us all protection. Neglecting the principles means neglecting Krishna's order. So you are one of the chief men of this institution. Kindly maintain your behavior to the standard so that others will follow and the whole thing may go on nicely. It was said about Lord Chaitanya, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivera Shikai. That is, he personally used to practice himself the injunctions and then he used to teach others. That is our principle. Unless one is perfectly behaved person, he cannot teach others. My only request is that all the GBC members should be strictly to the standard of life and see that others are also following them. Then our centers will be well managed. Kindly do that and advise your co-workers to do that. Letter to Hayagriva.
Last one.
No, this is next chapter actually. By mistake he... I think this must be the last slide, you see. Anyway, so this is the very powerful way in which he ended this chapter about deity worship contributing to hearing and chanting. So it was amazing.
Last slide.
I think this must be Shastra Guru
Atmarupe
Apanare
Jana
Apana.
Krishna Mora Prabhu Trata Jiva Rahetna.
Okay, so thank you very much. So let's continue tomorrow. You are there tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Monday.
What about you, Mohan Vilas Prabhu?
Camper.
I will carry you on my shoulders tomorrow.
What?
12 to 1 you can attend. 12 to 1.